Good morning, everyone, and welcome to today's morning brief from February 15th, 2022. My name is David Clark, and I'm one of the analysts here at Nasdaq Dorsey Wright. And taking a look at yesterday's performance, bit of a mostly negative territory as we saw most of the indices pull back, bleeding the way to the downside was the S&P Equal Dollar Weighted Index down 85 basis points. Also saw our international equity counterparts negative territory with developed markets down 65 basis points and emerging markets down 70 basis points. Leading the way to the upside are our commodity proxies here. Crude added over 2.5%, with gold being just shy of 1.5%. We did see gold move above that $95 level with yesterday's action. Again, we touched on the fact that it has some resistance there at 94 through 96. So we'll continue to monitor that from the gold perspective. But moving on over to some other charts this morning, we take a look at the chart of the S&P 500. In most cases on U.S. equity charts, this is where we see a continuation of a current column of O's. In the case of SPX, it fell down below this 4370 level. Still, we noted support to yesterday and today here at 4300 and 4230. Again, pretty common picture of seeing U.S. equity indexes move to sell signals and continue further in a column of O's after what was a nice rally to start the month of February. Moving on over to the gold continuous chart, and as we did note, it was up over 1.5% yesterday, and that move brought it up to above 1870, bringing it to this level of resistance here where it hit last November. A move above 1880 would bring it to levels we haven't seen since June of last year. Still have some resistance here in 1900 and 1910, so we'll continue to watch that as well. On the one of the things we did want to point out yesterday, we were discussing the fact that commodities, especially a lot of those signals, have come from agriculture recently. Did want to first note that agriculture and the asset class group scores is now scoring at its highest score ever at 4.81 in all of its history. Not a whole lot of history compared to some other groups, but still scoring above that 4.5 line and scoring at 4.8. Very notable. Also within the commodity space, we see energy and natural resources, commodities itself, and then commodity related stock along with MLP. So very much a commodity related slant in this upper echelon of high scoring groups. And if you were looking to look for some ideas, those not familiar with the asset class group scores page, you can look for ETF and mutual fund ideas by selecting the ideas link right here on the page. Bear in mind, within some of these commodity funds, as we discussed yesterday, they do kick off K1. So we'll be worth looking under the hood there to see if it does kick off a K1. If you have any questions about potential K1s or want to look for funds that don't generate K1s, there are some broad speaking ones. You can't get as much as nuance with the non-K1 generating as you can with some of the other ones. But again, you can find a lot of ideas under the asset class group scores page here, but just selecting the link. And again, seeing agriculture very much a commodity really slant here on the leadership within the asset class group scores page, as well as on Dolly at the moment. From the indicator standpoint, we have seen some of the shorter term indicators, such as the 10-week for the NYSE symbol TWNYSE, reverse down into O's, and with last night's action continue down into O's to 38%. You can see these hit below 30% and then reverse back up pretty strongly, as we saw in January, in the latter part of December, early January, and then even recently saw in the latter part of January and earlier this month. You can see strong moves from these below 30% levels. But we'll continue to monitor, see if we can print a higher bottom as we have the prior two occasions. And if that is a suggestion that we're seeing demand come back into play when you see these higher bottoms on indicators as well as other charts as well. Looking at the one bullish percent that we've seen reverse down so far this week, bullish percent for NDX is often one of the first BPs that you see reverse down and take action or reverse up back into a column of X's. It's a fairly small universe, so it can sway quite a bit, and especially since technology has been under the microscope for the market for the most part and been fairly scrutinized and sometimes hit the hardest, it is the one indicator that we see move quite a bit. We did see BPNDX reach up a level of 70, the highest level we've seen since November, is now reversed back down to this 50% level. It felt like not more than a week ago we were talking about, or 2 weeks ago we were talking about it moving above the 50% level. So that just gives you some indication that you can see this BP move around quite a bit. And again, at the moment of the index BPs, it's the only one that lies in O's. So we'll continue to monitor that as well. But when you're looking at some of these tech stocks, again, and especially some of these tech heavy indices, you want to be sure that your stock is still maintaining a buy signal, still maintaining key support. And if it's not doing those two things, then that may be a position that we would need to evaluate. Last thing we wanted to touch on this morning was a little bit of a shakeup in the dollar rankings. This time, not going to be domestic or commodity related or even international equity related. Yes, now we're talking about the fixed income level. And what we wanted to touch on today is we've seen U.S. preferreds and convertibles fall down to the sixth position following Friday's action. And it briefly fell to the fifth position last week, but jumped back up to fourth. It's now moved down to sixth at this point. And it's not all that often that we see U.S. preferreds and convertibles move into this fifth through eighth position into the bottom half of those fixed income rankings. Actually, we discussed it a little bit in a report yesterday. Looking back to the beginning of the history that we have for fixed income rankings and starting at the end of 2011, if you look back to through that history, you can only find a handful of days, not literally a handful, but there's very few days that you see U.S. preferreds and convertibles rank in this bottom half. And actually, it's only about 8% of all trading days, or just over 200 days, that you see U.S. preferreds and convertibles in this lower half of the fixed income ranking. The other 92% of the time, it stays in these top four rankings right here. So to see it fall out of the top four is notable, as it isn't that often that we see it. We'll continue to monitor, obviously, with how domestic equities have behaved. We've seen U.S. preferreds and convertibles begin to behave fairly choppy as well within the fixed income space, which has already been a space that has its own level of volatility separate from equities that we've seen as of late. But just wanted to point that out, that we've seen that U.S. preferreds and convertibles group move all the way from second where it began the year, or actually began the year in third, moved up to second, and is down to sixth. So it's one group right now that has shown some ability on a relative basis to gain quickly, lose quickly, and really jump around. So just bringing that to your attention, if you're maintaining any preferreds and convertibles exposure right now, maybe looking where something to assess as volatile as a group as it's been. But as always, if you have any questions about the video or have any questions about what you may be thinking with today's market, feel free to call the Dorsey Brad analyst team at 804-320-8511. Hope everyone has a nice day.